sermon and didn't realize that Chad and Marcia were going to be here and the boys. And one of my illustrations, Chad, I hope that I tell it correctly and properly, but now he's here. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 6. Let's stand. Give God honor and reading word tonight. Thank you for bringing your Bible. Thank you for studying your Bible week after week. Man, that makes it easy to preach that to you. Amen. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. And the fire upon the altar. Moses was given instruction to... God was given instruction to Moses how they were to take care of the temple, the tabernacle. And one of the things was talking about the fire, the altar. And this is what he said. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The idea is that everything in the Bible has an illustration or illustrates. This one illustration is that God is always there. The fire is always there so you can bring your you can ask for forgiveness. You can bring your sacrifice. So always there waiting for you. Always there. And he said, I don't want you to let it out. I don't want somebody to be disappointed. Yeah, I have a hard time shutting church down. Number one, we advertise our church that on Sunday morning it's 9:45 and morning service is 11 and evening service 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7:30. And sometimes, you know, sometimes because of picnics and things, you kind of, but I just have a real hesitation to that because I want people to know that this building is always open. Amen. I heard a friend of mine, he said that his church, they don't have evening service all summer. And this is what he said, but we've found that once we start services in the fall, people don't come. People don't come. So I hope that we keep the fires burning at Heritage Baptist Church. Thank you for being faithful all these years. Thank you for serving the Lord with gladness. And praise the Lord. Tonight, I really, God knows my heart, I really want to be a blessing to you folks tonight. I love you. I've loved you for many years. And some are just getting to know you. And others, I've known you a long time. We know each other's idiosyncrasies. You know my idiocies. I know your idiosyncrasies. I don't know if there's any difference, but there is. And we have been blessed by God working in our hearts and our lives. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that fire would ever be burning in the altar and it should never go out. Lord, I pray that you just help us to remind each other that we need to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Entitled this message, Never Let the Fire Go Out. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by putting on of my hands. Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy, and he says, Listen, he said, I want to put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God in your people that you're pastoring. Stir it up. Keep reminding them of what God has given them. They need to keep going. They need to keep going. I don't want them to forget what God has done in their heart. And they need to keep going. It's very easy to quit today. I hear pastor after pastor after pastor across this country quitting. Just stopping. Men that get to a certain age and they think they need to retire. Folks, listen. Just get some rest. Don't quit. Rest if you must, but don't quit. Stay with it. I don't see in the Bible any place that the pastor is supposed to stop. I do know in the Old Testament it talks about the Levite priests that bared the burden in their youth. And at 50 years old, they no longer had to serve that burdensome task of all the sacrificing, the burning, and everything. They kind of went, but they were their advisors. I'll tell you what, I like young. I like the old guys around me that can teach me some things, amen, and show us some things that we need to do. Well, when I was a Boy Scout, I learned some very good helpful hints on starting a good campfire. The other night at camp, old Joey Sanfilippo, "I'm going to build a fire." And I said, "Joey, don't you build that white man fire. You make that an Indian fire." And I didn't see that bad, but I'm Shoshone, so I can say that. I told him, I said, "Don't you dare make that big old bonfire." I said, 12 inches wide and 18 inches high is plenty enough. And I saw the fire, saw in the picture, and it looked like he did a really good job. Back when our son owned Central Montana Outfitters, and he had over 117,000 acres under lease for hunting, he said, "The best way to get a fire going is use lots of gas." It really works. But anyway, I think you were probably about 22 when you told me that. A fire will go out unless you watch it. And unless you attend to it, unless you stir it. A fire will go out of control if you do not prepare to have it in a proper place. A fire needs to have someone to keep their eye upon it. By the way, God gave the local church a pastor, and he is to do that, to watch the church, to attend to the church, to stir the local church by using the Word of God. He is to control the church, put things in their proper places, and make sure they get in their proper. He needs to keep an eye on all of it, for he will give an account before the Lord. This is what the Bible says to pastors in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourself, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood." So our responsibility is to make sure that we take heed. That word in the Greek is prosecho, which means to bring to, or to bring near, or to bring a ship to land. He's supposed to make sure that he looks after and puts them right in the place. When I was in Iloilo, Philippines, and a fellow Filipino befriended me. His name was Ulysses. I wish you could meet him. He's the funniest guy I ever met in my life. In fact, he even gave me a dried seahorse. May not be big to you, but it's big to me. He said, "I want to take you on a boat ride. I want to take you over where MacArthur said, 'I shall return.'" And so we took a boat ride over there, and while we were coming to land that boat, the captain cried out orders to dock that boat. It was the most rickety thing I ever got in my life. I have no idea. I thought, well, I do know how to swim, amen. And it had outriggers on it, and he said, "Be careful! Be careful when you bring it in!" The captain, he was yelling all kinds of things, talking Tagalog, you know, every once in a while. The funny thing about Tagalog in the Filipinos, they'll speak a whole bunch of Tagalog, and all of a sudden they'll start speaking English. I say they keep switching channels, amen. You listen to them, all of a sudden you're going, "What was that?" You know, and the Lord said, I'm going to start understanding tongues or something, amen. And that's the word that we as pastors are to take heed. To all the ministry of God. First of all, there's never been a time on planet Earth that this world so desperately needs to see some Christians with lives that are full of consistency. Just, my brother Mike and I were talking about some people that used to go to our church back in Hope Baptist. And he was talking about this family that left, and that family left, and this family left, and that family left. And he said, the thing was, he said that they just weren't consistent. It really concerned him. David Livingstone, who did so much towards opening the dark continent of Africa, told the following story. As a small boy, a faithful Christian man called him to his deathbed and said, "My son, make religion the everyday business of your life and not a thing of fits
and starts.
I meet a lot of people that have a lot of fits and starts. Amen. Livingston's life showed that he had followed the advice of that old man on his dying bed. Even in his last hour, when he was dying, he spent on his knees in prayer to whom he had so often gone in comfort. I want to tell you, I have some dreams. I think that it's more than right for me to speak to you on my 34th anniversary of the pastor of this church. I think that it's no more than right to tell you a little bit of my heart. I'm indebted to the folks who have stood by and taken a lot of flack and gone through a lot of stuff by keeping this old church on 10th Avenue North and 52nd Street. But I have some dreams. You know, every pastor ought to have dreams for his church that God has given to him. He has so graciously called us to a church. We should certainly have dreams for God's church. The dream of the church, first of all, is that I want a church that united. Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another." I think that you're going to find, in fact, the Bible says in the last days you'll see the love of many will decline. Isn't that in the Bible? I think that we're going to find this in our churches. There's going to be a declination of true love and fellowship and sticking up for each other and loyalty. And I think that we ought, as Christians, we ought to understand that. My dream is to keep this church loving each other. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:1-10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and it be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful." You know what the last word is? Be courteous. Be courteous. Be kind. Be kind. Everybody's having trouble. Everybody's going through a tough time. Man, be kind to them. You have no idea what they're going through in their life. You have no idea that maybe that they've just lost their job. Little girl, my little gal that comes every Sunday, wears a baseball cap. She said, "Preacher, they fired me." What's her name? Beverly. Broke my heart. They said, "Well, we just don't think you fit in this job." And she said, "I love this job." And they said, "Well, you have to go." I'm about feeling like going down there and taking a few of my buddies down there and teach that guy a few lessons. Amen. Sometimes people that are educable slow need some help. And they deserve every right that we have. We all have that inalien right to live in freedom. And it breaks my heart. My heart just broke for her. She said, and she was so excited when I left a couple of weeks ago. She was so excited she got a job. And then they tell her she didn't have a job. Be pitiful. I know some of you are very pitiful. But anyway, sorry. But be courteous. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life." Listen to this. We know we've passed from death. We know we're saved because we love the brethren. "He that loveth not his brother," the Bible said, "abideth in death." I'm not for that. Amen. I don't want to abide in death. Secondly, I dream of a dream church would be attended. Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." How many think it seems like the Lord's coming back right now? You know, the Bible says, man, don't get away from your church. Stay faithful to your church. Number three, dream church is a church that's friendly. I told his sister this morning, I said, "Ma'am," I says, "we call Heritage Baptist Church Montana's friendly church." I said, "It's kind of a lie." And she said, "Well, that's why I came here." I said, "No, I'm teasing you." I said, "What I'm saying is, we're not friendly. We're just plumb lonesome here, amen. We're just glad to have you, amen." Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born an adversary." Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Man, I was so ticked off. And Brother Tucker, we just said hi, and all of a sudden he says bye. I said, where are you going? He said, they're calling back to base. I love this camaraderie. I love this time that we can be together. And that iron sharpeneth iron. I think fourth, the dream church is a church that is a loving church. I want to have a loving church. Loving each other, loving the lost, loving the unlovely. There's a lot of unlovely people out there that people don't want nothing to do with. I want to love them. Number five, a dream church is a church that is spiritual. Bible believing. I believe this Bible from cover to cover. One man says, I believe this Bible from generation to revolutions. Amen. I believe the Bible. The whole thing. I take it literally, where it says literally. Amen. We ought to have a spiritual church that's Bible practicing. Thus saith the Lord God. If the Lord doesn't say what to do it, then do what you should. But if God said no to something, don't do it. If God said yes to something, then do it. Amen. I look for a spiritual church and praying. God help us to be humble and a praying church. We should never go forward with our heads up in the air nor our chest stuck out, but humbly on our knees. 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I cannot tell you all the people who have gone through this church. I was up at camp, and all of a sudden I looks up, and here's Joe Sprunger. I said, what are you doing? I mean, man, I'm glad to see you, but what are you doing here? He said, I just want to come see a preacher. That's the first time we've got to see each other for about 3 or 4 years after a very difficult time in her life. From the leaving her husband leaving her to the terrible cancer that she has. And we sat by the chapel outside and cried and giggled and cried and giggled. I remember the time they first came to our church. Had a little baby. Nobody wanted them in their church. We put our arms around about and says, come home to church. You know, there's a whole bunch of people out there in Great Falls that need a church. Thank God for Tuesday night. Thank God the ability God has given. I told Chad, I said, man, you're like a movie star, man. I said, people are going to come to see you. And God's given him that opportunity and Marcia and the boys to bring people in. There's a lot of people out there who only come because of this. And I don't want to miss that opportunity. I don't want to miss, I don't care what, I will humble myself. I'll do anything I can to make sure that people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think a dream church is a church that's for missions. Thank God for our missionaries. I mean, literally, church, mission-minded church. Not just a I-centered church, but an Acts chapter 1, verse 8 church. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The work of our dreams should not just be on our little corner, 10th Avenue North and 52nd Street. Our dreams should be the state of Cascade County and the state of Montana and the United States of America and the world. A worldwide, world-scale vision. A worldwide task. Also, the dream church is a people church. That everyone would feel at home. Everyone would feel at home. I'm talking to Casey. Casey and I, he helped me go get the lawnmower and had a great talk with him. And he was talking about our church. Home church. Family church. People care for one another. People love one another. People concerned about one another. Everyone should feel at home. Every member is a vital part of this whole church. Over a certain church door should be the inscription, the rich and poor meet together here. The Lord is the maker of them all. The dream church is a church that's alive. something is going on. I'll tell you what, we've got something going on. We've been going every week, there's been something going on. Man. The deadliest thing in the world is a deadly church. It's a dead church. You never hatch a baby chicken on an ice box. And souls are never born in dead, cold churches. Hey, take this. Just think of this. You ride down the road and you pass a stadium. I was down in Atlanta a couple of years ago and went by the Atlanta Braves stadium. Nothing. There's nothing going on there. Absolutely empty because nothing was going on. A few miles down farther, there's another stadium, and that stadium was packed with people, and they were there because something was going on. You listen to me now, Christians. You listen to me now, Heritage Baptist people. There was something going on. And while something was going on, people were there, amen. I know you're tired, but you got to keep things going on. You got to keep stirring that fire. You got to keep things alive. You got to keep things in shape. You got to keep things cleaned up and picked up. You make it like something is happening here. Mrs. Koshu said to me yesterday, she said, but preacher, says, boy, I just want that building number 2 and just right. She says, we want to do things first class. That's right, sister. Want to do things first class, amen. This is for God. This is for God Tuesday night. This is not for us. This is for God. I think of our choir, even tonight, great choir. But you can have the greatest choir, and you have the most beautiful building, but if you are not alive, and you're not interesting, and people have not invested in the ministry, you know, that investment is a $7 ticket Tuesday night. That's an investment. Enthusiastic group of workers. World's not going to come to a dilapidated old dead church. Man, they want to see things that are shaking and moving, amen. They want to see things happening, amen. Number 9, the dream church is a training church. Training is essential and successful of everything. We train soldiers. We train our sheriffs. We train our police officers. We train our firemen. We train our EMS people. We train our athletes. And man, Mr. Phelps certainly has been training, amen. We train our salesmen. We train our doctors. We even train our dogs. We train our doctors and nurses and lawyers and plumbers and electricians and our pilots and barbers. Beauty what? What do you call you girls? Fix ladies' hair. Cosmopolitist. Takes a while to do it. Thank God you do. Because I sure need it done tomorrow. Amen. But the most important person to train is the person to do the best possible job for God. To be able to tell the lost how they can know for 100% sure they're going to heaven. Isn't that the most important thing of life? I'd say it's the most important thing of eternity. And man, if people go and learn how to do hair, and people go and learn how to drive tractor trailers and learn how to drive, you know, race cars and learn how to drive motorcycles and they learn how to be nurses. And good night. I had a little quote. And it went like this. I'll find it here. When an auditor makes a mistake, he goes down in red. When a doctor makes a mistake, he goes down to the morgue. When a soul winner makes a mistake, he goes to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday night is a big night for us. I pray to God that we'd be willing and we'd be ready and we'd be prayed up, because I'm telling you, and a lot of people can get saved here. I told you last time, I said, my sheriff got saved 5 years ago when we had that sports night for my wife. Who knows if he'd ever got saved? And who knows who may get saved. You see, I'm going to buy me 10 tickets. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to find 9 people that I can give a ticket away to. I think I've got some pretty good ideas. Because I want them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you? Amen? Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us not let the fire go out, because between the sinning people of this earth and the God of heaven are Christians who need to keep their passion for souls. Christians who need to keep the passion for sinners who have no hope. And without someone there, they would have no hope. The fire must never go out. Because if it goes out, there is no communion with God and no prayers for these who are lost. The fire goes out. For the fire goes out, there is no identification with the Savior. And Lord, we live in a world that's estimated 7.28 billion people in this world right now. And Lord, if nobody stands and tells people about Christ, sure there's a lot of people are dying. So speak to our hearts. And Lord God, I pray that you'd help us to give ourselves to you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Dear God, please. Heads about, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know if I'd die today, I'd go or not. I'd sure like to know." Right there near your seat, you can pray to ask God. And you can say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now at this spot." If you're here today and say, "Preacher, I prayed that prayer tonight," would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. God bless you. Anyone else? I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Anybody else? Lord, now speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, as we take the Lord's Supper. May it be an encouragement and a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our deacons to come at this time, please.